Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And a very happy Thanksgiving to you all. I hope you all enjoy this very special holiday time. My partner Jose and I were in Mount Gretna, Pennsylvania with my family for 3 days and had a wonderful time enjoying each other's company and way too much food. I'm thrilled to be here today. I want to thank Mother Diana for asking me to speak today. But I have to say, I was a little shocked when she asked me to preach, and I wondered, why me? What do I have to say that would be meaningful or helpful to someone on a spiritual journey to developing a close relationship with God? Turns out I have plenty to say, so here it goes. I'm the son of a Southern Baptist minister and a school teacher mom. Both of my parents are alive, healthy, remarried, and retired. My dad has been here on 2 occasions, and he loves the church, Mother Diana, and all the people he met here, especially the choir. My father was an evangelistic minister in the Southern Baptist Convention, which meant that we moved around a lot from various churches, mostly between Texas and Tennessee. I have 3 brothers.
Hold on.
I have 3 brothers who love sports, including football, more football, camping, hunting, and anything outdoors. I, on the other hand, prefer to stay at home with my mom, painting, drawing, sculpting, or making home movies with my Kodak Ektasound movie camera. I think I really aged myself just then. I specialize in making Dracula movies. I was definitely the black sheep of the family, and while my dad might have wondered if I was possessed running around the house dressed like a vampire, my mother encouraged my artistic side, never asking why I didn't like sports. As a preacher's kid, I loved church and especially choir. I struggled with my weight when I was a kid, as I still do, and had greasy hair and braces. I wasn't popular in school, so choir was my refuge. It was the one place I felt I could be myself without being judged. Singing was something I excelled at, and our choir director would often ask me to sing solos on Sunday morning services, which I happily obliged. When I was 13, I joined the adult choir and began to feel that the singing thing was something I could possibly do as a career. I spent many hours in front of the mirror with a fake microphone that I built from a stick and a tennis ball. At this time, my dad was pastor of a fast-growing church in Germantown, Tennessee. Germantown was a wealthy, incorporated town just on the outskirts of Memphis, Tennessee. There were vast horse farms all over the place, and I fell in love with horses and joined a show barn there where I purchased my first hunter named Old Henry. Old Henry was a retired show jumper from the United States Equestrian Team, and he made the perfect first show horse for me. I became heavily involved in the horse show circuit, showing hunters and jumpers all over the country with a group of very talented, very rich, and very unsupervised teenagers. In fact, we would often drive hundreds of miles from one horse show to another with no more than a 20-year-old chaperone and a couple of grooms for the horses. Alcohol was very much a part of the scene, and since there was no adult supervision, you can imagine that drinking was more than out of hand. We were all like kids in a candy store. We called ourselves the Desperados, named after the famous song by the Eagles. Horses, horse shows, and the friends I made in the horse show community became my sole focus, and music began to take a back seat. At that time, my dad's church was growing fast, and I was happier than I could imagine. And then the unexpected happened. I came home from several weeks of being on the road with horse shows only to find out that my parents were filing for divorce. My whole world seemed to be falling apart. My family was broken. I had come to the realization that I wasn't talented enough to make it as a career, as a professional equestrian. I also began to accept the fact that I was gay and no longer had the refuge of choir to retreat to. But I knew in my heart that singing was something that I could do for a living. After my parents' divorce, I enrolled in college at Florida State University as a voice major, which at the time was considered one of the biggest party schools in the nation. I began drinking heavily on the weekends while I was a student there and surrounded myself with party people. After Florida State, I moved to Boston, Massachusetts to study with a voice teacher there. I became almost completely estranged from my family and from God while I lived in Boston. I was an out and proud gay man and found myself suddenly in the in crowd of the Boston gay scene. I was performing constantly and was having some of my first successes as a singer. It felt good to be recognized as an entertainer and to develop a sense of community, which I hadn't had since my horse show days. Eventually, I wound up singing on cruise ships with Norwegian Cruise Lines and was making a name for myself in the cruise ship industry. It was an exciting time in my life, and yet the drinking continued and got even worse. It's important to mention that although I was estranged from my family at the time, I was seeking counsel with an amazing friend named Dr. Michael Appleby. Dr. Appleby was an executive life coach at Schwab Investments, and he was brilliant at helping you see your weaknesses and your obstacles. He was the first person to suggest that my drinking was turning into a real potential long-term problem. I knew it was too, but drinking was the only way that I could anesthetize the pain of being isolated from my family. The turning point in my life came shortly before the 9/11 attacks. In August of that year, my contract was up with Norwegian Cruise Lines, and the entertainment company that hired me asked me if I wanted to stay on for another 6 months. I turned the contract down and decided to give New York another shot. So I found a roommate, a bartending job, and said goodbye to cruise ships. I'm sure most of us can remember where we were on 9/11. I was on the verge of landing a big entertainment contract. After the attacks of 9/11, work in the entertainment industry dried up and the contract offer was gone as well. There was practically no work as an entertainer anywhere. I was soon bartending 5 to 6 nights a week, and my drinking got even worse. The whole world seemed to be empty and meaningless, and I had no one to lean on other than the people I worked with at the bar, who were equally, if not more, empty and depressed than I was. Months passed, and I was spiraling down a deep hole of sadness and despair. I've always used lifelines when I needed help. These are people that I call, sometimes out of the blue, for life advice. I hadn't spoken to Dr. Appleby in many months, and I decided it was time to get some life coaching from him. He could tell I was at my wit's end on the phone, and after some uplifting conversation, sprinkled with a heavy dose of laughs, Dr. Appleby gave me the best advice I ever received. He said, "Jeff, I want you to get down on your knees and thank God." I said, "Thank God for what? My life is a complete disaster right now." He said, "But you're alive, aren't you? You could be dead as much as you have abused your body." I agreed to try it. What have I got to lose? That night, I got down on my knees and prayed to God to give me a sign that he was real and that he still cared for me. As I was praying, I suddenly felt a hand on my back. It scared me so badly that I let out a loud yell and turned around. There was no one there. I figured it must be a strange coincidence or a body twitch. I started to pray again, and as I prayed, I felt what could only be described as a huge set of arms surrounding me with love. I began to cry and cry uncontrollably. I think I cried for 24 hours straight. The next day, I went to work at the bar. It was a Saturday night, and the place was packed. I was in the front bar with my favorite fellow bartender, and we were doing shots with the customers and making drinks so fast I could barely breathe. The music was blasting and customers were lined up 7 to 10 people deep at each ordering spot. I noticed someone had raised their hand out of the corner of my left eye. He was jumping up and down and motioning for me to come over to him. This was not the time to break my stride, as I had several drinks going at once and people were getting impatient to be served. But he was persistent and apparently really needed my attention, so I went over to him and he grabbed my shoulder and pulled me close to him, and as he did, the whole room went silent. People were still clearly talking and the music was blasting, but everything became muffled. The guy looked me straight into the eyes and he said, "Why are you so empty and sad?" I pulled away, surprised and a bit startled, and he dashed off. I went back over to the center of the bar, and my fellow bartender said, "What did that guy say to you?" "You look like you saw a ghost." I went home that night and prayed like crazy and cried some more. I began to have clarity for the first time in my life and started to see that this prayer thing was working for me. I prayed for a renewed relationship with my family, and within weeks we were speaking on the phone all the time. I prayed to get out of New York City and landed yet another bartending job, but this time it was in Provincetown, Massachusetts. Now, Provincetown may not seem like the best place for me to go, as it's quite a party town, but it was there that I began to reestablish a relationship with God. Prayer began to open doors for me that I never seemed dreamed possible, and soon I was free of the bondages of alcohol abuse. I met my partner, Jose, of the last 13 years due to being consistent with prayer. When my partner and Jose and I moved to Montclair, New Jersey, several years ago, I prayed that I would find a church that would be open and accepting of all people regardless of race, gender, or sexual orientation. I visited many churches in the Montclair area, never quite feeling at home in any of them, but I kept praying that God would open that door and allow me to find a church home. I was in a Barnes & Noble one day and was looking for any book I could find on spirituality as I was determined to reconnect with God as much as possible. Then I passed the magazine section and looked for any interesting magazine I could find on either science fiction or videography, two of my passions, and I saw a classical singer magazine that was in the science fiction section and decided to flip through it. Now, I had not looked at anything classically related for at least 10 years. As I opened it, I saw an audition notice for a tenor section leader at this church. I wrote down the number and called Bill Davies and set up an audition. Within a week, I was the tenor section leader, and that was, I'm still trying to figure out how many years ago that was. I think it was 5 or 6. God answered my prayer. Prayer is a powerful tool to use along with gratitude. I've made it a point to thank God every single day of my life for all the blessings He's bestowed upon me, my partner, my family, and this beautiful congregation. I'm grateful beyond measure for this church, the choir, Bill Davies, Mother Diana, and the ministry here at Christ Episcopal. I am grateful that I am 14 years sober and have a loving partner who keeps me grounded. Thank you. I'm grateful that I have a partner that keeps me grounded and loves me, flaws and all. I am grateful to the late Dr. Michael Appleby, who taught me that prayer works as long as there's action behind it. I've seen God's amazing hand in my life on so many occasions, it would be impossible to call any of it a coincidence. All you got to do is pray, listen for guidance, and take action. Amen. Amen.
Let's stand together as Christians throughout the centuries and proclaim the basic creed of the Church. We believe in one God,
the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not.
of every kind and place. Almighty God, your merciful rule encompasses all the world. As we gather for worship and safety, we pray for places where the church is persecuted. Watch over your people as they witness to your good news. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give bountiful pastures, safety, and health to herds, livestock, and all animals. May our care for all of your creation reflect your shepherding love for all that you have made. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for international organizations that shine your light in places of strife. Lead relief and aid workers, leaders and volunteers to seek the lost and provide safety. We pray now for peace in our neighborhoods of Bloomfield and Glen Ridge. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, abused or ill. Give wisdom to counselors, doctors, nurses, and all in professions that provide healing. We also pray now for those on our parish prayer list. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Shepherd your churches to welcome the stranger and immigrant in our midst. Call all your people to welcome, clothe, feed, and visit those in need, just as you have provided for the lost and despairing throughout the ages. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give us the hope to which you call us, our glorious inheritance with all your saints. Enrich our lives with the faith and vision of those saints who have died. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray also for the victims of the Hamas bombing in Egypt. We also pray in thanksgiving for Jeffrey and his story of faith, and those who now name either side of faith or not.
We pray for end of violence in our inner cities. We ask God's prayer on the family of the North activist who was senselessly killed on Thanksgiving, and we pray that all the work that she did to help bring peace to her community will continue to go on. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Brother, there were vandalism in two churches in March. back to choir, because I know you guys are rehearsing. Yes. It's already, yeah.
It's in my,
if it's in Sunday paper, it'll be in.
As it was originally set when we flew, it was cut before
everybody came forward. We don't have one. With
their pledge card. This is not a pledge card, but if you need a pledge card, if you do not receive one in the mail, they are in the back table. Please, if you were here earlier, you remember our heat was completely out. We just spent $15,000 putting it in the boiler. Yay! The only reason churches exist is, are still in existence is because people remember us in their estate plans, and also they support the church each year. And so all of this doesn't happen on its own. We pay bills just like everybody else. So if you want to be a part of making that happen, also get like NPR, VBS, the 27th year. When I watched Mount Abbey, they would say, made possible by local corporation and viewers like you. I'm like, I own that show. What? I'm the only reason you've done that thing, but you've been on the air. So I feel differently about it. Now, like, I watch it, I'm like, and same issue with the church. It brings you into this sort of connection with the church that's different than you need. Besides the fact that we need to be able to put a budget together, or try to put a budget together, we don't know how many you have. So please try and do that. Also, if you want poinsettias, just grab any flower envelope that doesn't have a poinsettia on it, and donate whatever you'd like to towards the poinsettias, so we can put poinsettias up for Christmas Eve.
And the last thing, some of you missed our instructed Eucharist.
We have a lot of nervous, and I was going to make sure you guys had this. This is a full, there's diagrams in here, so you know what's going on up there. Definitions of everything we talked about. If you want to know why we do the things we do and what the things are, it's right there, take it home, okay? Shouldn't be a mystery. That's a mystery, but it shouldn't be a mystery, okay? So please help yourself to that.
Is anybody celebrating a birthday or an anniversary
this week for whom we can pray? Good, got a couple of birthdays, looks like. Well, then walking up, let's give our preacher a round of applause. You might have some food for your waivers. If you need that, let me know.